Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right, well, let's pivot over to the Chicago River. The Chicago River is really going under a glow up over the last 50 years. Just in general, the Clean Air Act, the Water Act has done wonders for our waterways, and it's always exciting to see new species come back or native species return. We got the bald eagles being born. Everything's great until you tell me there's an American eagle in the in the Chicago River. That is a line too far for me. Probably not for Austin Happel, who was from the Shedd Aquarium, our research biologist there. Austin, welcome to WGN. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. And in full disclosure, Austin and I went to college together. So, Austin, I was excited to see you quoted all over the blockclubchicago.org article about a fisherman who caught an American eel in the Chicago River. Give us a little bit about this species in general. Is this a place you would normally find an American eel?
I know. It's crazy, right? Like, they don't look like anything you'd normally find here. But, yeah, they can and should live in the area. Eels are weird. They will live in freshwater rivers for a very long period of time. Think like 20, 30, 40 years, and then they just up and decide it's time to go make more American eels, and they'll swim all the way out to the Sargasso Sea, which, think Bermuda, the tourist destination. They go out there, have fun, and then their babies find their way back to freshwater rivers and swim up them, and then the cycle continues. So the Mississippi River would have been the pathway that this eel would have made its way up, then into the Illinois River, passing through about 9 lock systems, and within the past 20 years now, an electric barrier to then kind of find its way living here in Chicago. So kind of cool that it was found here. They're really neat. I wish we had them at Shedd to showcase.
That's incredible. Austin, I just want to make sure I understand. Are you saying every American eagle is born in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and makes its way to live in the freshwater rivers of our country?
Not only our country, but Canada, Mexico, down through Central America. Yeah, that's basically the cycle. It's crazy. There's not really other species that do that. Most species do the reverse. Think salmon, where they swim up freshwater streams to spawn and live their lives in the ocean. So eel kind of do the opposite, which makes them unique.
And the eel's lifespan, are you kidding me that they live 30 or 40 years before they decide to go into the ocean and recreate?
Right, and we don't know what flips that switch either. There's a lot of unknowns with eels, which makes them fascinating.
Okay. My experience with eels is the Princess Bride movie, which is, of course, the horrifying scene in which the princess is thrown overboard.
Yeah, classic cinema, just scaring the heck out of people. No, they're not going to bother humans at all. They don't make sounds either, but that's an interesting take on aquatic biology.
Okay, so you think that, or you propose that perhaps a seal came up the Mississippi River. Could it have come through the St. Lawrence River? Could it have been someone's pet and released? Are there other examples or theories that are out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like to lead with maybe the natural way that it could have gotten here, but there are other ways. So we've connected all of the Great Lakes with various canal systems and locks and dams, so they could have made their... That eel could have made its way up the St. Lawrence, which then it would have had to go through the Welland Canal to get over the Niagara Falls, and then it could kind of migrate here through the other Great Lakes. Or there's another option where it could have been released by someone. It's not uncommon to have eels as pets. I mean, I guess it's not unheard of is maybe the more accurate word, to have eels as pets, and maybe someone decided to release it. Or there's also known... religious practices that involve maybe buying a fish to eat and releasing another for goodwill, or simply buying species and releasing them for future good fortune. And we know that that can happen sometimes in the Chicago area. We've seen American eels in locations they couldn't have naturally gotten to previously. So a few years ago, they found some American eels in the McKinley Park Lagoon. There's no way for it to get there naturally, so it had to have been put there by a human. So it's possible that it got released into the river, but it's also possible that it naturally swam here.
How would we know if there was more of them there, except if they were caught? Like, do you have ways to track through the electronic sensors you were mentioning, or these gates that I know we're trying to prevent the carp from getting into Lake Michigan? Like, is there any other way to, like, document or look in the river to see if this is part of a growing trend or a one-off? Or are you guys pretty blind to what's happening in the river just simply because of the logistics of it?
So the way freshwater bodies are normally sort of sampled for aquatic communities by agencies is not good at collecting information on eels. It's also not the best at collecting information on other, say, bottom-dwelling fish. To do that, they would need to use traps, which you have to put out a trap, and then you have to come back the next day, then you have to pull it up, and it's very stressful to, like, confine the fish, so we don't like to do that much. Plus, it takes more man hours. So to get information towards your question of how many eels might be here, we would have to do just that. And there just hasn't really been a need to do it, but it's certainly something we could do in the future. And then to figure out how the eels got there, we'd have to take tissue samples. And either we could look at genetics and take then genetics from local, you know, eels that are in live markets and see how related they are. If they're not related very much, then maybe we could say that eel came from a wild location. Or we could look at the chemical composition of some bones. Fish tend to grow throughout their whole life, and that means their bones also grow. And their composition of those bones, kind of like a tree ring, it just changes as it grows older. And we can look at that compositional change and see where fish came from. Okay. Not saying that that's something that's going to happen, because that's just a lot of work.
Yes.
It's not a super important question at the moment, but those are ways that we could get answers.
That's a polite way of saying we got other things to do, John, that are at the top of the list that are not how many eels are there. Although I do wonder, and perhaps we don't know, right? This could just be the one-off, right? And it made its way up and it's a noted swimmer and good for it and wonderful. But I do wonder, at the start of the interview, I started chatting about the glow up of the Chicago River and how, you know, the river itself has just gone under such a great change over the last 50, 60 years, some of it through federal and state legislation, some of it just simply we care more about the river and what goes into it. We swam in the river last year. Some folks did for a race. Could this be a river story of success that an American eagle would be here? Or since it isn't a native original species, this is more of a just happens to be, not necessarily, oh, it's because we've made the river better. Do you see what I'm asking, Austin?
I don't think of American eel as a great immediate indicator of water quality change, but they are, since they live decades within, like, a freshwater system, they can tell us that, okay, that system is at least supportive of life for that long. So we haven't had any huge, massive, say, fish kills within the Chicago River for however long that eel was in there. But I don't look at them and think immediately like, oh, that means that this water is now awesome and we can swim and whatever in
right.
it. But they are important. I mean, they're apex sort of predators. So being able to support a predator in a system means a lot for the food web. That means there's all sorts of other fish and crayfish and things that are alive that are sensitive that then go to feed this organism. So they can tell us a bit about what else is in that ecosystem there. So it is cool. And all these sort of stories help bring more eyes to the river. And, you know, how many people do we meet that have no idea that anything lives in the river? So then to point out that, like, oh, there's this cool fish that lives in the river and connects Chicago to the ocean through this story is a great way to kind of get people thinking about the river more if they weren't already involved in, say, taking kayaks or doing river cleanups or just going to the river walk and enjoying a city winery or something.
So. Yeah. It's what's in the air, too. I mean, we got the eagles back. It's because of the health of the river and a lot of the other water systems that have been considerably improved, not only in Wisconsin nationally, but then into Illinois as well. I'll leave you with this, Austin, just a silly question. Does the eel make your top 10 fish list or... is it more of a bottom dweller on your list of favorite fish as well?
I wish that we found them more frequently. I do like them. They're super cool because they're just so unique. There's not other fish that look like them in our area. And then that weird life cycle of needing to go to the ocean to reproduce. I think they're super cool. I've been trying to push for us to showcase their story at Shed. We have all sorts of other biodiversity here that you can come and see.
Yeah, and finding out what that switch is, 30 or 40 years yeah. going, you know what? I'm going to go in the ocean and mate. That's a yeah, long it's swim.
It's 3,000 miles from where we are, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Austin, I appreciate your time. It's good to chat with you again. I hope we talk again either on air or off air again soon. And you guys do great work at the Shed, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. Always good to talk.
Absolutely. That's Austin Happel, research biologist at the Shed Aquarium. Okay. I don't think I'm alone in my fear of eels, by the way. And I don't think it's all related back to Princess Bride. They just look, I mean, they're slimy and they're slender and long. And any shape like a snake.
Yeah, a water snake.
It just doesn't sit well with me.
And you don't see them portrayed as nice, like Little Mermaid also.
Oh, yeah.
The two evil eels.
What were their names with Ursula?
Flepsen and Jepsen or something
Flepsen
like that.
Flepsen and Jepsen. Wow,
I don't
Lauren.
Know. That is stored somewhere really deep.
Yeah, you pulled that out of somewhere on the occipital lobe. That was incredible that you got there. By the way, that's an underrated Disney movie. I know Lion King is still beloved by kids. I hope The Little Mermaid is too. I know they remade it too. But yeah, maybe mm-hmm. that's where my eel yeah. hatred comes from.
Did you see that new movie, Remarkably Beautiful Creatures?
No.
Well, it's awesome. It's in Netflix, and eels are in that as well.
Does it make me? Is it going to make me squirm, Mary?
No. It's a beautiful movie.
It is.
Yeah. Really?
Fantastic. You got to watch it.
Wait, what's it called again?
Remarkably Beautiful Creatures. It's also a book.
Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Beautiful. Isn't it beautiful, or is it bright?
Oh, bright. I was trying to softly correct you, Mary.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
It's a great book, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man, it's on Netflix? Is it a movie? So it's just like one?
Yeah, it's with
one...
Sally Field. You got to watch it.
Wait, what's
yeah.
Sally Field doing? I mean, she's remarkably bright. I get that, but
she just
hosts it?
She's in charge. She's the star of the movie.
Aren't the animals the star?
Oh, for Pete's sake, just watch it.
Don't bring Pete into this.
Like the narrator? Is that where
No, you're... the octopus is the narrator.
Yeah. What are we talking
about? It is so good.
She's just an actor.
Sally
Field. She's a legend. But is she like in the tank with the animals?
No, she cleans the tank. She's the cleaning lady.
Wait. Have we gone over the line to parody? Are you serious?
It's a movie, and it's, yes.
Oh, so it's fiction.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was a documentary.
Yes, so did
no,
I.
No,
okay,
it's
you
a
can
movie.
See, you can see the confusion with Lauren and I. Here I am thinking we're talking about some nice documentary, and all of a sudden Sally Field's cleaning a water tank in it.
Yeah, and Bill Pullman Jr. is in it as well.
Bill Pullman Jr.
Yeah, his son. Yeah, you got to watch it.
Lewis Pullman, okay.
Yeah, is that his name, Lewis?
Pete knows everything, apparently. He just said that in my ear. I will
he
watch it.
He looks just like him, too.
I kind of wish it was a documentary. And that's why when you said it was a book, I'm like, well, is it just like a biology book? This all makes sense now, Steve and Mary. And your endorsement goes a long way. I'll tune in
Hey,
for
when
sure.
Steve Alexander endorses it, too, you better watch it.
Well, there was a little more weight on Steve's endorsement, I will
Thanks.
Say.
Put David on your lap and grab us some popcorn and watch it.
Well, it's fiction. Is it safe for David to watch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Pretty Beautiful. Oh, I've already forgotten the name.
Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Remarkably Bright Creatures. I love Sally Field.
Yeah, and she doesn't just go, you know, star in anything. She picks her movies. Mm-hmm. Very well.
Yeah, who doesn't dream of washing a tank in a movie?
No, I know it sounds really stupid. But you guys, it's just a beautiful story.
I'm not making fun of it. I think it was really cool.
It's not like
sweet.
The Shape of Water, which was what I thought it was going to be like. That movie, I could not stand that movie. And remember The Shape of Water?
Yes. Oh,
that, with that like weird creature?
Yes. Mm. That, yeah. It was
that
just,
was not a good documentary.
Not a documentary. The weirdest thing
when
ever.
You said octopus, that reminded me of a very quirky film I saw, which was a documentary. Is it called My Friend the Octopus? Something like that.
Yeah, the one with like a creepy romantic
yes.
relationship.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't romantic, but it was love. I mean, it was romantic. It kind of was a romance film.
Yeah.
It was great. Let's go to Vivian on line one. I hope she gives us something good here because we've been struggling.
I wanted to tell you. For a beautiful documentary, it's my octopus teacher, and it's about a man who's a diver and a kind of a biologist. And it is the life of an octopus in 1 year, and the man chronicles it. It's absolutely beautiful and touching. And certainly the Sally Field movie based on the book is fantastic as well. So you can get your fill of octopi.
I love that. That was what we just started talking about, but you got the name for us. What was it again?
My Octopus Teacher.
Oh, it was great.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. I sobbed at it, I'm pretty sure. I've watched romance films that romance is really putting a weird connotation on it. It is between a person and an octopus, but it is not creepy or weird. It's beautiful. It was amazing the way it was done. Viv, thanks for the help on that one.
Okay. Bye, John.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I just love that one. Okay, I'm going to add this one to the list when I remember the name of it. And thanks, Steve and Mary, for that recommendation. Yeah, a good fiction that can work in the animals too. Oh, so then, Mary, sorry, eels are a big part of it, you said, in this movie.
Not a huge part. No.
They're a supporting cast.
The octopus just doesn't like the eels, so.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, I guess I just don't know why we are so, because there's a lot of texters saying that the eels just drive them crazy too. And I don't know if it's because it looks like a snake and that just, for whatever reason, the human mind, most of us.
I should say, though, Mary, you'll agree with this, that this eel is particularly vicious looking.
Yes, yes.
In what way? Like big teeth and eyebrows that point down towards the middle?
And very aggressive, and yeah.
Yeah, you won't like them, yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand. Are they showing real animals, or are these animated? Or is it CGI?
A little of both. Yeah,
I think it's a little
of all of that, yeah.
Boy, yeah. I've never been more confused about what I would watch, what I was about to watch than this film, but it sounds intriguing. Viv liked it. I'm going to add her name to the recommendation. Real quick, 630, quit picking on Mary. The book is excellent, and so is the movie.
Thank you.
847, John, pay attention to Mary. I agree with her. Remarkably Bright Creatures is a great story. I read the book, and my book club is going to have a movie night to watch the movie. I pick on you because I love you, Mary. I think people know that. I hope they do.